played the Olympia Theatre back in 2012. We've just mentioned, obviously, you played this venue, the Three Arena, a couple of years ago as part of C2C. I was at that show. I actually saw you guys last year at Country 500 in Daytona.
Oh, funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
From first hand, how do the audiences differ over here?
They just consume the entire record. I think that's what I love about it. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a singles-driven listener. They really dig in. They, you know, we'll have people come through the meet and greets, and they're, you know, talking about songs off the new record like Hurt or Somebody Else's Heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to say that, you know, there aren't diehard fans in the States that, mm-hmm. of course, know all the songs off the record, but not to this level. I feel like when you come over, you know, to places like Dublin, the fans that are coming to your show are so diehard and so excited to see you that it's almost like they go and do their research and they know who wrote the songs, you know, the whole background behind it. And I think that's what, to me, is the coolest thing, is to be able to just, it kind of opens up the amount of songs that you can really start digging in and doing. That's why we've catered our set list completely different, more like, you know, diving into some of the newer songs, and less cover songs. It's a lot of fun.
We pour our heart and soul into every single track on every record. And so it's not just the songs that get put on the radio. So I think to feel that love and that investment from the fans here is just really, it's a real amazing feeling.
Obviously, you've got Brett Young and Kelsey Ballerini out on the road with you. And looking back over the past couple of tours, it seems as though anybody who tours with you guys then goes on to become a massive country star. But these guys, they really are superstars waiting to happen. And Kelsey's well on her way, isn't she?
She came through our meet and greet as a fan of ours when she was 13 years old. So we were at CMA Music Festival in Nashville, Tennessee. And this was probably 2009, 8, somewhere around there. And obviously, we didn't know at the time. So we got on tour together, and Kelsey showed us this picture earlier this year. She's like, I got my picture with you guys. I was 13. Y'all had just started and had a few songs out. And
yeah,
we did. We definitely felt old. But, man, it's been great to watch her star rise. I mean, she is on top of the world. I mean, even the past few weeks, mm-hmm. just with this new record that's coming out soon for her, she's been doing so much television and prep, and she's just on fire. And Brett, I mean, we really tour with people we love. We try to handpick artists we love and we believe in, and we believe in their music. And Brett's no exception. I mean, his first few songs have been killing it in the U.S., and I'm excited for people to see him here. And again, it's fun. This is their first time, I believe, playing in Dublin. So for us, that's a big honor. You know, we had that role underneath people like Keith Urban and some other artists that took us to different places and Australia and things like that. So for us to help introduce Ireland to these two superstars is really a big honor for us.
Just a kiss on your lips in the moonlight, just a touch of the fire burning so bright. Well, I don't want to mess this thing up, I don't want to push too far. Just a shot in the dark that you just might be the one I've been waiting for my whole life.
So baby, I'm all right.
You know, obviously life's changed quite significantly. You're all married now. You've got kids. Hillary, you're carrying twins.
She is.
Dave, your wife's expecting a baby.
No.
That's just lunch. How has life on the road changed over the years?
It's really funny. I mean, backstage, especially in the States, you know, when we've got this caravan of tour buses and stuff, and immediately there's kiddie pools every time you walk out of your bus. You know, somebody's got the kids out there. And, you know, it's a traveling family circus. And, you know, but it's funny, the minute we put our kids to bed and we all kind of, you know, get into our little hangout room, we call it Club LaBellum, and just start laughing and goofing off and getting ready for the show, not much has changed. You know, it still feels like summer camp, but it is. It's funny. It's like, I don't know why. It just, this business keeps you feeling young, even though you're not. You feel like I still feel like I'm in my 20s out here on the road, although the hangovers are a lot harder to deal with. But it's the greatest job, and we still enjoy it and appreciate it. And I think a little bit of that break, you know, we took a couple of years ago was, I think, to even gain more of an appreciation that we have now. And kids really put it all into perspective too. You know, there are times where I was like, oh man, maybe we made a wrong song choice here, or made a mistake here. We could be a little bit bigger or this. And kids kind of make you go, life in a perspective so much where like now I'm just like, I can't imagine being in any different scenario than we are right now. Just I'm loving where life is for us as a band and in my family. And I don't know, it's just a nice place to be. So I think that's kind of the state that we're in now, is like we've been a band 11 years and we want to do it for another 10, if not 20 years, if possible, you know, as long as people show up.
And you mentioned the break there, you know, I think it was your first hiatus in something like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And
it wasn't that long, but
yeah.
And during that time, you obviously, Hillary, you released a gospel album.
Yes.
And Charles, you released The Driver. When you go for so long, such a tight schedule, mm-hmm. and every day's mapped out, you probably look at a calendar and you know what you're doing every day for the next year. What's it like to just stop? And also, why wasn't Leaving Nashville a single?
Well, we're talking about actually maybe even approaching it for a project of Lady A's in the near future. It was just a song I found, you know, through a friend of mine that blew me away. And I think if we were doing a Lady Antebellum record at that time, we would have recorded it, you know. So I don't know, you know, I think for us, you know, it was nice to – Hillary has literally been talking about wanting to do a record with her family since we started as a band. She said, at some point in my life, I want to do this, because that's how she learned how to sing harmonies and that's who taught her music. And for her to be able to kind of do that and fulfill that dream, you know, and it not be at the expense of, like, you know, Lady Antebellum or the band breaking up. It was like, no, she really wants to do this. This is a and she can have that, you know, Christian career with her family and be able to do this, and we can go do this, we can do side projects, we can go produce a record if we want, we can write with other artists. And I don't know, I think it only makes us stronger when we get back together, because it's like you get all these little artistic itches out, you know.
And they all kind of can live alongside each other. And we said from the very beginning as a band, like, we're all creative artists coming together to form this trio, and for us to not be able to nurture that individual creativity in our own ways, you know, because we gave ourselves the freedom to do that, gave each other the freedom to do that, I know we came back into making Heartbreak so much better versions of ourselves, for the fans, for the recording process, the writing process, all of it. It really had such an incredible positive impact on all of it.
Oh, I think it's time to take a heartbreak.
Of course, the new album Heartbreak, that came out in June, and the album was produced by Busby. And I mean, you look at what he's done lately for Maren Morris, Keith Urban, mm-hmm. Lauren Elena. I know he worked with you guys on 747. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past he would have maybe been more associated with pop acts. Mm-hmm. Do you think, because he is country's sort of go-to guy at the minute, do you think that's an example of, again, how much the genre has shifted?
Yeah, to a point. You know, I will say, if you listen to what he does, though, he tailors his production style to what the artist, I think, needs. You know, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff with, like, Pink, and of course that sounds a lot different than what, you know, he's doing with us. And I do think that's what I like about him, is he's able to kind of preserve what he believes is the cool of the artist. And but we've said it when we started. I mean, I remember when we put Love Don't Live Here out, and that was our first thing. I said, this is pretty much a Southern rock and roll song, you know. And I was very curious, you know, how we would fit in the genre, what the fans would think. And it just, you know, the genre has just changed so much, and I think it's because there is a need for, you know, just bands, you know, and especially on pop music. And you know, it's much more beat driven and single solo artist driven stuff, that it's like, this to me, this genre has opened up you know, a voice, I guess, for all the, you know, for traditional country still, but also for kind of, you know, bands like us that were just as much influenced by Tim McGraw as we were, you know, Led Zeppelin and Pearl Jam and, you know, Allman Brothers and, you know, Tom Petty. I said it the other day, you know, when they said, you know, what's Tom Petty's influence? I would say that artists like Al Dean and, you know, Eric Church and ourselves would probably say that Tom Petty was, if as much, if not more, of an influence than, you know, like Hank Williams was for us, because that's what we grew up on. You know, we grew up on Tim McGraw and Kenny Chesney and you know, guys like that.
I just want to mention Need You Now, because obviously you look at what that song has done for country music, not only you guys as a band. I mean, I was saying to Kelsey there, kind of over here in Europe in the 90s, Shania and Garth kind of put a foot in the door. And then with Need You Now and the TV show Nashville, you guys just kicked the door in.
Oh, gosh. And, thank you.
I mean, you look at the records it broke, the extreme radio play. Is it true it was written very fast?
Yes. Yeah. It was the second song we wrote that day.
Wow.
We had started one with Josh Keir, our co-writer, and finished it. And then it was like not even lunchtime, you know. And so Charles grabbed the guitar and started playing the chord progression and some of the lyric and the verse and into the pre-chorus that he had kind of had as a voice memo in his phone. And it was off to the races. You know, we wrote it so quickly. I mean, it was just one of those songs too, that when we wrote it, we didn't really know what we had. You know, it was truly the last song that we listened to when we met with our label, with the A&R department, before we went in to record. And we just, Charles, thank God, was like, well, let me just play you this before we get out of here. This is literally the last one in the pile. And it might suck, you know, I mean, and so then we played it for them and they encouraged us. They said, just get in. I mean, it needs work, but get in and see what you can do. And our producer, Paul Worley, at the time, we got into the studio and it just took on this whole new life. And we're just so grateful, because obviously that's the song that changed it all.
It's a quarter after one. I'm all-